May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't you love these Michaelmas hymns? I love them. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. In St. John's vision, the archangel Michael, the defender of God's people, along with his angels, fights a war in heaven against the dragon and his angels. Michael prevails. The dragon is thrown out of heaven. He then angrily roams the earth, intent on revenge, seeking to destroy every last one of those who, in St. John's words, keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony to Jesus. John had his vision at the height of the Roman persecution of Christians. He recounted it to inspire fortitude when life was hard. The very same Michael who prevailed in the war in heaven would also prevail in the war on earth. Make no mistake about it, John is saying. Your persecutors may look very earthly, but you are not engaged in earthly warfare. You are engaged in spiritual warfare, and all the powers of heaven are aligned with you. The dragon. And his angels will prevail not. John's vision was shaped by a long tradition in Judaism that angels were sent to defend God's people. It's a tradition reflected in Psalm 91. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy feet against a stone. The ancient Jewish belief was that at the moment of our birth, God assigns each of us an angel to guide us and to guard us. Jesus himself taught that we all have a guardian angel when he said of children, "Never despise one of these little ones. I tell you, they have their guardian angels in heaven who look continually on the face of my heavenly Father." Jerome, commenting on that statement by Jesus in the 4th century, was struck by what it implies about the dignity of the human soul. How great the dignity of the soul, since each of us has from his birth an angel commissioned to guard it. More recently, Pope Francis reaffirmed the doctrine of guardian angels. In a homily in 2014, he said that all should pay attention to their traveling companion. No one journeys alone, and no one should think they are alone. According to church tradition, we all have an angel with us. And Pope Francis insisted that this was not just wishful thinking. This doctrine of angels should not be considered a little imaginative. It is rather one of truth, God said, I send an angel to guard you. One of the largest and finest medieval parish churches in England was in Coventry. It was dedicated to the Archangel Michael and all the angels. It was a Gothic church. Its spire was 300 feet tall, which made it the third tallest spire in the country behind Salisbury and Norwich cathedrals. In 1918, this parish church was named the cathedral for the new Diocese of Coventry. Clearly, the dedication to honor Michael was intended that he would protect Christian souls, but Michael was also intended to protect the building into which the people had poured so much of their local wealth. On the night of the 14th of November 1940, Coventry was blitzed. St. Michael's Cathedral, having stood proudly for 600 years, was mostly destroyed. Only the spire and a part of the outer wall remained standing. The provost at the time had the words, "Father, forgive," inscribed on the part of the wall that was behind where the altar had been. 3 years later, also in November, a similar tragedy would take place in Berlin, the capital city of England's enemy at that time, Germany. In March 1891, Kaiser Wilhelm II, the last emperor of Germany and the king of Prussia, had laid the foundation stone in Berlin for a church that would honor his grandfather. It was to be the city's grandest church. It was Romanesque and had 30,000 square feet of wall mosaics. Its spire was 70 feet taller than the spire of Coventry Cathedral. The nave sat 2,000 people. While the church was known as the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church, it was also dedicated to St. Michael. On November the 23rd, 1943, it was destroyed by an Allied air raid. A part of the spire and an entrance hall were all that remained. Apparently, Michael had failed to protect. But had he? The rest of the story of those two churches suggests that Michael had defended something far more important than buildings, even grand buildings. In the case of both churches, the decision was made to stabilize what remained and leave it standing as a reminder of the destructive evil of war. The same provost who had "Father, forgive" inscribed on the wall behind the altar, his name was Richard Howard, was walking around the charred ruins of his cathedral a few days after the Blitz, and he picked up 3 6-inch medieval nails which had held the burning rafters together. He welded them into a cross, which is now incorporated into the cross on the altar of the new Coventry Cathedral. He also petitioned the BBC to be allowed to conduct a national radio broadcast from the cathedral ruins on Christmas morning 1940. In the broadcast, he announced the plans to rebuild the cathedral, but he also declared that he and the cathedral of the Archangel Michael, once war was over, would work with those who had been enemies to promote reconciliation. And in his words, build a kinder, more Christ-childlike world. Michael, so often depicted as a warrior, would defend God's people by bringing peace between them. The symbol of the work would be a cross of iron nails, either from the rubble of the cathedral or classed as replicas. After the war, Richard Howard had another cross made of nails from the ruins of his cathedral, and he presented it to the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church, where it is displayed to this day. A symbol of reconciliation between two countries that were once at war. The story of the Archangel Michael is that he fights a war with Lucifer in heaven. Michael prevails. Lucifer is thrown down from heaven, but now he stalks the earth. He sows his seeds of envy, pride, greed, and lust in the hearts of men, causing hatred, division, anger, war, and destruction. As our reading said today, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down among you, having great wrath. When the bombs fell on St. Michael's Cathedral and the flames lit the night sky, the onlookers must have felt that all that satanic wrath was focused right there. But truly, it is Michael and his angels who have prevailed again. The cathedral was destroyed, but it was rebuilt. And the cross of nails has become a worldwide symbol for reconciliation. There is now a community of the Cross of Nails, and there are chapters all over the world. Close to us, there is a chapter of the community of the Cross of Nails at St. Philip's Cathedral in Atlanta. There is one at St. John's Cathedral in Jacksonville. Significantly, there is also one at St. George's Anglican Church in Baghdad. The words of our second hymn today, Christ, the fair glory of thy holy angels, were written early in the 9th century by a German abbot for his monks to chant at evensong on the feast of St. Michael. The chant names three visitors from heaven that God has sent to earth, the archangels. It names the grace that is associated with each of them. Michael, defender. Gabriel, herald. Raphael, healer. In each case, there is a prayer for that grace to be realized here on earth. The prayer for Michael's grace is a prayer for peace. Peacemaker blessed, may he banish from us striving and hatred, so that for the peaceful all things may prosper. Michael may be depicted as a warrior, but on this feast of St. Michael, it is peace that we pray for. Amen.